Dolphins Monday opening drive is on the air. Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Welcome to Dolphins Monday opening drive with former Dolphin wide receiver O.J. McDuffie and John Congemi. I'm Jesse Agler. We'll be with you for the next hour as we bring you day after analysis of the Dolphins' 26-23 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, plenty to discuss coming out of this one, and we'll get to all of it. Also, about a half hour from now, we'll bring you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference as he answers questions from the South Florida media. So that's what's coming up. Plenty to get to. Let's start with the big picture, and not for the first time this season, let's start with pass protection and the offensive line. We've spent a good amount of time the last couple of weeks talking about pass protection and all of the sacks, and they're on pace to allow 70-whatever sacks this season. And yesterday it was six more sacks of Ryan Tannehill by the Baltimore defense. And one of the things that we've been told and that we've said recently is that the sacks are not all on the offensive line, and that the tight ends have bared some responsibility, and the running backs have bared some responsibility, and that Ryan Tannehill himself had some of the responsibility fall onto his shoulders. And all of that might be true again yesterday, but OJ, it seemed like it was a lot more towards the offensive line in that game. This is without studying the game film, and we'll see what Joe Philbin has to say about all of this. But just to the naked eye, I guess, watching the game, it did seem like the offensive line really struggled to hold up their end of the bargain yesterday.
Well, I watched a little bit of the game film. I watched a little bit this morning, so I couldn't watch anymore, to be honest with you. And there was a lot. There's a big issue with the offensive line. Unless we were doing three-step drops and they were expecting a quick set by Ryan, they weren't giving him any time to even get to that fifth step, you know, and so it was a lot on the offensive line. Maybe some was on Ryan, and like you said, Coach Philbin don't have more to say about it, but at the same time, though, you look at some of those plays, and it was on the snap of the ball, it seemed like, you know, Ryan was getting the pressure. And it was really, and you look at it, too, the big picture of it, there wasn't very much room to escape either, John. You know, you like to see Ryan throw it away or try to find guys earlier. It's hard to get through your progressions, hard for you to escape when the whole pocket collapsed the way it did a lot of times yesterday.
And it's hard to get some semblance of rhythm when you don't have any balance in your running game either. You know, those guys are pinning their ears back and they're coming at you. And it's very difficult to feel like you had something to hang your hat on yesterday. You never got into a game where you said, well, this is what we can count on. It seemed like there was a little bit here, a little bit there, nothing really to count on moving forward. And there was never any really balance into the Miami Dolphins offensive attack. But no matter if you're going back and you're throwing it 50 times a game, you still have to be able to protect, get rid of the football, and be able to distribute the ball from the pocket. Now, can you move your launch point a little bit more? Can you have a little bit more flexibility in where you're throwing the football from? Probably. That might help out. But in the NFL, you know that you're going to drop back and throw the football. You have to have better pass protection at the point of attack. And there's guys getting paid a lot of money to rush the quarterback, sir. But there's also tackles in this league and guards and centers that are getting paid a heck of a lot of money to protect those quarterbacks. So at the end of the day, you know, enough's enough. You have to be able to be tougher at the point of attack, and that means that offensive line needs to improve.
Part of it, of course, is that the Ravens defense, especially later in the game, they had no concern whatsoever about you running the football, and that balance is part of this. 9 rushing attempts combined for Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas yesterday. Lamar, 7 carries for 15 yards. Thomas, 2 carries for 1 yard. The Dolphins as a team averaging about 2 yards per carry, a little bit less, I think, if you take out Tannehill's 2 rushes. So that gives the defense even more of a head start. There's no threat of the run anymore. They're not worried about your play action. They're doing the proverbial pin your ears back and come after the quarterback, which isn't going to make life any easier on the offensive line, you know, who we just talked about. So that's part of the protection issue as well.
Yeah, and that it is. It really is. And you look at it, I mean, it all starts with, you know, not holding on to the ball, not having the ball very long. You know, for you to have 22 yards and 11 total carries, but the thing about it, John, is we only have the football for a quarter and a half.
That's right.
They had it for 2.5 quarters. And you can't establish anything like that. You can't get any kind of rhythm like that. It makes it tough for you to get going as an offense. But also, you know, it gives these guys that chance to just pin back and come because they know we're going to throw the ball. Kind of like Monday night in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, when they knew we couldn't run it, we're going to pass it. Here they come.
That was more situational, though,
exactly,
because all of a sudden you're down 18 points in the second half, and you kind of, all right, hey, we got to throw the ball to get back into it.
And we were running it, too, in that football game with a little bit of authority. So you felt like if you hadn't had the gap in the you know, the 18 points or whatever, you'd feel like you'd be able to get into the football game. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, the game just didn't start off the way the Miami Dolphins wanted to. I don't know this for a fact, but I think four out of the first five series, we were three and out.
Yeah,
I mean,
bad.
We felt like we didn't have the football to do anything with it. You know, there's no rhythm established. You had no feeling of what the Dolphins were going to – what identity we were going to have on offense yesterday. And I think we were lucky to be – in there because the defense played so well and kept them out of the end zone for the majority of the football game.
You talk about the offensive production early on, and you're right. They never really did establish a rhythm. First possession was three and out and a punt. Second possession, three and out and a punt. Third possession, three and out and a punt. Fourth possession, you start at the Baltimore 29-yard line after the Ray Rice fumble. You don't pick up a first down except for a defensive holding on Mike Wallace. You end up kicking the field goal to tie the game at three. And then your next possession, which was early on in the second quarter, is a three and out and a punt. So nothing happening offensively, and part of that is the running game. They didn't have a run for positive yardage till about 12 minutes left in the second quarter. Not one. And granted, there weren't a lot of carries, but every time they handed off the ball in the first quarter and at the beginning of the second quarter, it was 0 yards, no gain. Part of this, I think, and the question I guess I'm kind of curious about here is Lamar Miller, 7 carries for 15 yards. Obviously, nothing was happening in the running game early. It was getting shut down. And give Baltimore credit, you know, for doing a nice job defensively. But you often hear about a running back needing to sort of get into it and lathering up, whatever cliche you want to use. Is there something to that in this situation where, you know, Lamar just wasn't even given the opportunity to get going? Or is it hard to give him that opportunity because he's not able to pick up any yards?
Yeah, he's not. You know, I mean, we got third and one twice in that first drive. You know, I mean, and these guys, you got to get that 1 yard, whether it's blocked or not blocked or whatever. You got to find a way. You know where that – if we start on 20, all you got to do is get that ball to that 30-yard line. You know exactly where it's at. Find a way to get there, and that's one of the issues, man. These guys are not getting the tough yards. You know, Ray Rice is getting hit in the backfield a lot, and he's still finding a way to get an extra couple yards for positive yards. You got 1 yard to go. Your running back, sometimes it's on your running back and not always on your offensive line.
You know what? It also seemed like when Baltimore tried to run the football, it's a lot different than when Miami's trying to run it. They have a fullback in the football game. And sometimes they didn't, but the majority of the time there was a lot more running room in between the tackles for Ray Rice to kind of bounce and bob and weave and find ways to come off blocks and come off would-be tacklers and find 4 or 5 or 6 yards. So I think it's a different philosophy in trying to run the football when you look at those two teams yesterday. But the one thing Baltimore did have was they stayed after it. They stayed after the running game, and they didn't worry about punting the football. Where the Miami Dolphins, you just felt like they never found their identity on the ground, so they said, you know what, we're going to have to do it with the quick passing game, the quick screens on the outside. Even they moved Figgy out to the outside. They tried to give him the ball in space. Mike Wallace tried to get him the ball in space. We missed a few opportunities. You know, you give up sometimes on the running game, but you add more opportunities in the passing game. You know, Mike Wallace was, if we were able to get the football out in front of Mike on a couple of deep passes, you know, those are big plays, big potential plays to go down, and you get chunk yardage. You get 40, 50, 55 yards in a play. Then you don't worry about the running game so much because you're in scoring position. So maybe a different philosophy in trying to get there, and ultimately it came down to you know, maybe a kick at the end of the game to get you extended time, to maybe get you into overtime or a chance to win the game. But I just think it was different ways of trying to win the game yesterday. Miami felt that they were going to have to throw it to win it, and they got themselves in position. They just didn't convert.
Yeah, we'll talk obviously a little bit more about that last possession and everything that went on, from the big fourth down play to Brandon Gibson to the spike to the sack and the eventual missed field goal. Let's talk a little bit about Ryan Tannehill. We say often that in the National Football League, hey, you can only go as far as your quarterback can take you, and that really seems to be the reality of the day. 21 of 40, 307 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, and a passer rating of 86.1. If not for the 6 sacks, and again, that's obviously not all on him, and maybe it's not even mostly on him, probably not. You know, Ryan Tannehill, from a pure statistical standpoint, and he goes over 300 yards, the 86.1 passer rating, all of his numbers, you know, pretty much across the board, better than Joe Flacco's. And yet, as you said, you know, the Dolphins just never really seem to get into a full rhythm when they had the football.
There was a better day out there for Ryan Tannehill. You know, the Miami Dolphin receiving core dropped a few passes on him yesterday, and, you know, those numbers, instead of 21 of 40, could have been very easily 26 of 40, 27 of 40. Yeah. And if Ryan locates the football on a couple of plays, it's even closer to 30. So you go back and you watch this tape, you dive into it. There was a bunch of things that happened to the Miami Dolphins offensively yesterday that held themselves back from winning that football game. So there's a lot out there, but, you know, you can never question mention the quarterback's toughness. When you watch Ryan Tannehill take the sacks he's taken over 5 weeks, still stand up, dust himself off, get back in there, and try to deliver and try to be accurate. That's a very difficult thing to do for a quarterback when you're getting sacked and you're getting pounded, to get yourself back up and, you know, still get into your good rhythm, good technique, and try to deliver the football on time and accurately. So I think Ryan is the least of our worries right now for the Miami Dolphins.
All right, Juice, let's talk wide receivers a little bit. Mike Wallace, 7 catches, 105 yards. He was targeted 16 times. They really did try and get the ball to Mike Wallace yesterday. You know, all last week we kind of said, hey, you got to get him involved. Got to get him involved early. And they clearly made an effort to do that. First play of the game, he picked up 9 yards on a nice little pitch and catch with Ryan Tannehill. Hartline and Gibson were targeted a total of 12 times. I mean, it gives you a pretty good idea, I think, of what the game plan was and what ended up happening. Wallace, 16 targets, 12 combined for Gibson and Hartline, both of whom ended up with 4 receptions. What did you see from the receivers yesterday, those three guys in particular? And then we can obviously get into Clay and some of the other stuff.
Well, I'd like to see the distribution to be a little better. I'd like to see it more like 8 across the board, because we got a lot of guys that can get it done. And, you know, to see him target Mike 16 times, 10 times in the first half, you know, that showed us that they were trying to get, you know, get the ball to him and get it to him early. But at the same time, sometimes it seemed like he's a little bit out of his element, Jesse. You know, some of the stuff in the middle, you know, little trouble seemed like reading the linebackers, reading the backs. He and Ryan were just a little bit off where Mike was continuing to go, where Ryan was trying to settle him down and some voids in the defense. You know, it seemed, we were 3 for 16, I believe, on third down for like 19% or something. 3 for 19 or whatever. And some of that is the fact that we couldn't connect on some of those little short throws. Short 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, whereas you make those catches, you make those plays, the chains keep moving. So I think it's just a little bit out of his element inside where he's having trouble reading it a little bit. But, you know, B. Gibb and Hartline, you know how consistent they are. They're where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there at the right time. And, you know, Ryan has his comfort level with them. So I'd like to see him, you know, make sure everybody gets equal opportunities out there to catch the ball, because you know those other guys are going to be where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there.
We have not really talked defense at all. Got to get into that, you know, at some point here right off the bat. Baltimore runs for 133 yards, but on 40 attempts. Yeah. I mean, they just got into grind it out. That's a 3.3 average. I think a defensive coordinator would be all right with that when you're looking at it from a purely statistical standpoint. And takeaways, the Dolphins with a couple of big-time takeaways, both of which led to points. Nice job by the offense there. The Ray Rice fumble early on led to the first field goal, the first score of the day for the Dolphins. Just a freakishly athletic play by Paul Soliai. he went like, you know, Bobby Orr, like just flying in midair to knock the football out of Ray Rice's hands, and a great job by Donnell Ellerbe to fall on the football. And then, of course, the pick six a little bit later on. Deion Jordan supplying the pressure right after he almost intercepted the screen pass. I think he hit the ball as Flacco was trying to throw it, kind of went straight up in the air, fluttered there, and Rashad Jones with a nice play to kind of patiently wait for the ball to come down. Seemed like it was in the air for about 30 seconds, and then Rashad makes the catch, and he's got the convoy untouched into the end zone for the 25-yard interception return. I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig or anything like that, but, you know, it was a loss. But that was a big play in this game, and that got the Dolphins into it. It got the crowd into it. It swung the momentum, you know, totally in Miami's favor. And it just seemed like that was the kind of play that wouldn't have happened that way the last couple of years. You know, I mean, you remember last year Rashad had a very similar-looking pick six against the Patriots. It was called back because of a low block on the return, and it kind of seemed like that went right. He didn't drop the ball when it was coming down, which went right. It was kind of nice to see that. Good job by the defense on a couple of takeaways yesterday. Of course, the final score, 26-23, not what anybody was hoping for. And Popular Community Bank, get totally free checking plus $125. Visit popularcommunitybank.com for details. Popular Community Bank, the human side of banking. We'll take a break, and when Dolphins Monday opening drive returns, talk a little bit about that last offensive possession for the Dolphins. You're listening on 940 Wins.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday opening drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday opening drive.
This will be a 57-yard field goal attempt by Caleb Sturgis, who's perfect on the day and on the year.
Oh, boy.
What a tough situation. Oh, man.
There's the snap. Kick is up. And he missed it. He missed a kick. He had the distance but pulled it left. And the Ravens are going to win this football game.
That's basically how it ended yesterday afternoon. Welcome back to Dolphins Monday opening drive. Jesse Agler, John Kingemi, and O.J. McDuffie. Caleb Sturgis. That's a lot to ask any kicker, particularly a rookie kicker, attempting a game winner for the first time in his NFL career. 57 yards wide to the left. And no matter how hard TD, the mascot, tried to convince the officials that it was good. It wasn't. It was wide to the left, and the Dolphins lose to the Baltimore Ravens 26-23. Let's talk a little bit more about everything that led up to that field goal attempt for Caleb Sturgis. You know, that final drive for the Miami Dolphins, they get the ball at their own 20-yard line, trailing 26-23. There's a minute 42 to go, zero timeouts, and the time didn't become too huge of a factor thanks to three straight incompletions to start off the possession, twice to Mike Wallace, and then a nice defensive play on 3rd and 10 where the ball was knocked away from Charles Clay. So you're 4th and 10 at the 20, and on an absolutely broken play, Ryan Tannehill keeps it alive, does a great job keeping his eyes downfield, and Brandon Gibson Juice does a really nice job of getting away from the defense, not quitting on the play, and making a nice catch to pick up 46 yards and get the Dolphins all the way down to the 34-yard line. So let's start with that. Great job by Tannehill and Gibson on that 4th and 10.
It was. It was nice to see Ryan feel that initial pressure right away and didn't wait for the pressure to get there. He saw it coming right away, was able to spin out of there, and to see him go to his left like that, John, you as a quarterback know how hard it has to be to be able to roll to your left, not roll, running to your left, you know, running for your life, it seemed like, and to be able to put that ball down there so far and so accurate, man. It just shows athleticism, and, you know, people always clamor for him to do more of that. And that's just one of those situations and one of those cases where why isn't he doing more than that? So it was one of the best throws I've seen him make. And we all know that Ryan can really throw the ball well on the run going either left or right.
It was a pretty play. I mean, you have to make a play in that situation. It's the game's on the line. He has to buy time, extend the play, get outside, and be accurate down the football field. And it was nice to see Gibson be able to create space behind coverage while Ryan was, you know, really running for his life to try to get in position to launch a football down the field. And he come up with a big play. The questions for me start after that play. You know, right. you have to make that play, but the questions for me start after that play and the urgency you have to have, but yet you have plenty of time. You have a minute left in the football game to calmly get to the line of scrimmage, get a play called, and not burn a play. And you know, when you spike the football, I would have liked to seen the Miami Dolphins come up with a sense of urgency that they had, but communicate a play which would have taken 10 seconds, maybe at the max, the way these guys signal in and out plays, to be able to run a constructive play on first down to not waste it down in those situations because they're so valuable. And you're not going to want to give the football back whether you tie the game or go ahead and win it to the Baltimore Ravens at that point.
Yeah, so what John's referring to, of course, is after the 46-yard play to Gibson, you're 1st and 10 at the 34-yard line, and they spike the ball to stop the clock with 1:01 left. Yeah. As you said, plenty of time. You're kind of in borderline field goal range. Maybe you want to take, you know, a big shot. Maybe you just want to make it an easier field goal. But after you spike the ball to sort of regroup, well, you're down to two plays now, you know, before 4th down. And then, of course, on 2nd down, I mean, it's a tough situation because obviously, as has been the case most of the year, the protection wasn't there
right, for
Ryan Tannehill. But going back to when you're a little kid, you know, trying to run a 2-minute offense with no timeouts, you just can't take a sack in that situation, and that makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, the sack is it's a bad situation, really. You can't lose any yards at that point. You know, we know, you know, Caleb has a powerful leg, but at the same time, though, as a quarterback, one thing you cannot do at that point is go backwards. And the spike, you know, with 1 minute left, we've seen a lot worse situations with no timeouts. And you still get up there and run plays. You know, you don't need a spike right there. And you know, honestly, it probably came through the headset. You know, it probably wasn't on Ryan that did that. It probably came through the headset to spike that because you do have that type of communication. So, I mean, it's like you get up there and if we gain 5-6 yards, we're in pretty good shape still, knowing our kicker. But when you start losing yards, you put him in an impossible situation at that point.
The field goal goes from, assuming you don't pick up one single yard after first down, it goes from being a 52-yarder, which is tough, but it's a 52-yarder to a 57-yarder, right, which is asking an awful lot of the kid in that situation.
And basically, I mean, Caleb shanked it and still went 57 yards. It still had the distance right, to go and go through the uprights to tie the football game. So it was probably the worst kick you'll ever see him make in a bad situation, but yet it still had the distance. So I'm not so sure Caleb really mattered for him if it was 52 or 57. He just would like to have had a clean strike on the football and then see what happens. You know, it was one of those things where he didn't have a clean strike. And then and getting back to that play where we spiked the football on first down, I'm just of the sense of this is a team that can run at any pace we want to. We can run at a rapid pace. We could run it and, you know, slow down the pace. We can communicate, no huddle. We can huddle. I just felt like we panic's the wrong word. I just felt like we rushed to get the football team up there to spike the football when we could have had urgency to get up to the line of scrimmage and run a play. Now, whether that wins or loses a game, I'm not so sure about that. Yeah. Because you still have two opportunities to go down and get yardage and kick a field goal. But I just feel like we had three cards to play with, and we just threw one away and burned one and said, now we only have two. We didn't get our best opportunity at those three chances to gain yardage.
I agree with everything you just said. I didn't like the spiking of the ball, but you did have two plays after that. Mm-hmm. You also had about 59 minutes before that where you could have done things a lot better to not be in that situation. That's obviously the big picture view of this thing, but hey, you know, it's a game of inches. That's the cliche, yeah. And it's a pretty good example of what took place there at the end of the game. A tough way to go down, and the Dolphins lose to the Ravens 26-23. Both teams now 3-2. Dolphins will head into the bye week this week, of course, and try and look for some answers with some of the things that have been plaguing them. But hey, you're 3-2 after 5 weeks. Everybody knows you'll take that. You know, it's not great. It's not ideal. Certainly not after starting 3-0.
Right.
But you feel a little bit better about the overall record maybe than you do about the last couple of weeks. Game day is better at the stadium, so watch the Finns take on the Bills live at Sun Life on October 20th at 1 p.m. That is the next game for the Dolphins. Buy your tickets direct and save at dolphins.com. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference. The coach has had the opportunity to watch the game tape. He is coming up next with the South Florida Media. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 Wins, the sports animal.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Welcome back, and welcome to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive. OJ McDuffie's here, John Congemi is here, I'm Jesse Agler. In just a moment, we will bring you live coverage of Joe Philbin's day after press conference as he meets with the assembled South Florida media next door in the interview room. We'll look back at the Dolphins' 26-23 loss to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday afternoon. Spent a good amount of the first couple segments of the show not only talking about the big picture issues that sort of made themselves known in the game yesterday, but also that last possession and some of what took place leading up to the 57-yard field goal attempt by Caleb Sturgis. Obviously, one of the things the coach is going to be asked about by the media is the spiking of the ball with a minute one to go. And, you know, I think the more you talk about it, the more you think about it, the more you look at it. Fact of the matter is, the sack, you know, a play or two later might be as big, if not bigger, a situation, you know, than the spiking of the ball. Because at that point, I think everybody knows you just can't take a sack. And obviously, the protection has been a struggle for the Dolphins so far. But if you keep yourself at least even there, you know, it's a big difference, a 52-yard field goal attempt versus a 57.
You have a kicker in Caleb Sturgis that's going to be good just about anywhere inside of 50. I mean, he's been automatic. And you ask him to go from 52 to 57, which wasn't a big deal, because if Caleb hits that field goal cleanly, I think he would have made it no problem. And really, he's shown that throughout the year. So, you know, you don't want to lose yardage. The most valuable thing in 1 minute left to go in the football game is yards. You cannot go backwards. If anything, you got to go forward. And if you spike the football on first down, you know, I'm sure coach was thinking he's got two plays that he can sit down and run. Now, in a perfect world, you'd like to get three. You'd like to run that play on first down, especially the way the Miami Dolphins operate. They're great in no huddle. They're really good in two-minute drill. They can communicate to the quarterback. So, I don't know. I just wish you had three instead of two there.
Yeah. No, that's certainly understandable. Coach Philbin has come to the podium next door in the interview room. Let's have a watch, have a listen.
You know, I think the bye week's coming at a good time. We've played 10 football games. We have 11 left on the schedule. We've done some very good things, and we have a number of areas that we need to improve upon as we move forward in the 2013 season.
You obviously had a chance to look at the film. What were the positives that you took out of yesterday? And obviously there were some things I'm sure that concerned you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I felt our guys, you know, we made enough plays to hang in there and you know, have it to go to the last play of the game with an attempt to take the game into overtime. So I think our guys showed some resiliency. We didn't play well in the third quarter, but we came back in the fourth quarter, made a couple plays, made it a competitive game. But ultimately didn't make enough plays to win the game. So I think there's, you know, as I just mentioned, kind of as a capsule of our whole season, there's been some good things, but there's obviously a lot of things to get better.
You talk about the decision to spike the ball. There was a minute 15 left, and first down, I think you were on Baltimore's 35.
And we were on the first and 10 on the 34. We spiked it with 101 remaining on the clock. You know, it was an inbound completion on first and 10 with a running clock, and I made the decision to do that and thought it was the right thing to do at that particular point in time.
Well, what made you think, because, I mean, there was a minute left and you were in a good position, what made you think that?
I thought it was the right thing to do at that point in time. I knew the situation. It was an inbound completion. Clock was moving. Felt we have a couple clean plays that we could execute well to move the ball into scoring position.
Joe, I know you guys say that you're always searching to upgrade the team. Do you do that with more vigilance this week and especially at offensive line?
I don't know that there's any more vigilance, no. I mean, I think that's a continual thing that we're always evaluating personnel at all points of the season.
Is this the week, because you have a whole, you know, obviously a week to regroup, maybe Nate Garner sees the field? I mean, is there a chance that you guys make a change in the lineup?
Well, we believe in the guys that we have. We have confidence in them. We've got to continue to strive all positions. I know everybody wants to focus on one position. There's a lot of positions on this football team that need improvement. We believe in the guys we have. We're going to continue to work with them.
Ryan's mobility yesterday, especially the 46-yard pass to Gibson and the early 30-yard to Hartline, pretty impressive with his throwing on the run. Is that encouraging? Is that something you can see maybe could be more of an impact or more of a part of the other?
Well, you know, they weren't designed. I mean, while they were excellent plays, and I agree with you 100%, Andy, they were very good throws and they're very athletic plays, excellent plays. Would prefer on those plays that we wouldn't necessarily have to do that. But certainly we have movement-type plays in the offense. We had one, I believe, the Brian Hartline in the game. We had one the other Monday night game that we've used. We use them at times, and we will continue to do so as we see fit.
Joe, how do you assess the state of the running game?
Well, I thought Baltimore's run defense, obviously, to give them credit. They were well prepared. They did a nice job run defense-wise. We felt, unlike Monday night, where we felt there were some, in our three wide-out sets, we had a lot of production in our run game. In the Monday night game, they kind of played it a little different schematically than our previous opponent did. So we felt like, you know, for most of the time, it was more advantageous to throw the ball in that personnel grouping than that one. So our volume, our number of carries was down, and obviously our production was down as well. So it's been up and down is the best way. You know, I thought we had kind of hit a three-week stretch where there was some relatively good productivity, but obviously yesterday there wasn't.
If you can get it up more consistently and more in balance on the run pass numbers, how much will that help with the pass protection?
I think it will definitely help. I think the, you know, the more reasonable you are, your second down calls and those type of things. Then, you know, the other thing that was missing yesterday was, you know, we didn't have a great play action game because we didn't have the run game and those second and threes and fours and those type of things to, you know, kind of keep the defense on their toes or honest, so to speak. So I think that can help there. I think a good run game can help your protection.
Joe, going back to the spike for a second, do you still stand behind that decision? That was the right thing to do?
I do. And I was the one who made the call. So,
when you look at pass protection, would rolling Ryan out, would that help, or would that just put fast guys in pursuit?
If you have a good pass concept that you like, you feel like you can complete a ball, yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. We have those type of plays in the offense. We've utilized them throughout various times this season. So it's the one way is the only way or the right way or the wrong way. Certainly there, you can move the quarterback and there's completions to be had there.
Some teams use the bye to reassess the coaching staff as well. Were you foreseeing any changes at all in your staff over the next 2 weeks or no?
No.
From our view in the press box, defensively, Deion Jordan looked to have probably perhaps his best game so far, both pass rushing and against the run and even in coverage. Is he coming along at the pace that you've expected from him now?
Yeah, I think the ability that he's had to stay on the practice field has been one of the real keys in his development. You know, early on it was something that he wasn't able to do, and he's been on the field a lot. He's been getting more, you know, used to the calls defensively, how his responsibility fits into the entire scheme, the fundamentals, the techniques, all that.
What he's showing you and what Derek Shelby showing the last couple of times, what does that do for your confidence level when you know when Cam isn't available or he can't go.
Yeah, I mean, again, all of the 46 guys that are up, they have an obligation to be ready and prepared to play, and I think they've demonstrated that.
You said after the Saints game that you learned a lot about your team, how they responded that week, how they responded in the game. How do you feel they responded last weekend in the game?
Again, I think our effort was good. I thought the guys competed till the end and, you know, gave ourselves a chance. We were in the game the whole way. But we have to do better. We have to do better. I think they're a resilient group. I think they're professional, hardworking, high-character guys. We certainly have some things we need to correct, but that's what we're in this business to do.
How do you feel heading into the bye? Obviously 3-2 is a more positive record than maybe some people would have guessed, but it comes on a two-game losing streak. How do you feel right now?
Yeah. I have faith in the guys that we have in the locker room. Faith in the staff that we have. That we can. We have to identify. We can't sweep things under the rug. We know we're not playing perfect football. We have to do better. There's no doubt about it. But I put my faith in the guys in the locker room and the staff that we'll, if we stick together and we work at it, we'll correct the mistakes and be a better football team after the bye.
You've been asked a lot, obviously, about the pass protection.
Sure.
The pace you're on is, you know, might break an NFL record if it continues at this pace. That year, the quarterback involved was never the same afterwards. Is there concern that the accumulation of hits and pressure might alter Ryan's trajectory of his career?
Not at this point in time, but I do believe it's very important when you're, again, I'll say one more time, that the pass game starts with protection. You have to do it. You have to be able to demonstrate an ability to consistently protect the quarterback. I don't care what level of football it is. So certainly the more times you can keep your quarterback clean and not get hit, not get sacked, not get hurried, not get rushed, the better, you know, I think you're going to be a more effective passing team. I mean, there's probably no argument there.
And what time more, guys? Do you consider making changes, Nate Gardner, Watkins, giving them a chance to probably help solidify that offensive line?
Well, we, as I said, initially we believe in the guys that we have. We have confidence in them. We know we've got work to do, that we've got guys that need to improve fundamentally, not just at the offensive line position. I mean, I know that's a huge focus, and we do need to develop and improve there. But there's other positions on the team that also we also need to improve on, and other individuals. So it's a team-wide. We got to get improvement from a wide variety of players.
Joe, do you want to ask one? Specifically, your time this week with the players this extra week, what do you hope to accomplish and try to get easy?
Well, right now we're making our corrections, obviously, from the game from yesterday, watching the tape, going through start to finish, and then we're going to get on the practice field tomorrow and, you know, primarily focus on ourselves. We spent a lot of time on self-scout. We got to get our internal things right before we necessarily get too overly concerned with our next opponent. So this week's more about, from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint, you know, tightening down our stuff, making sure we're doing the right things. Maybe we should emphasize, you know, this particular scheme more than that. And that's what the bye week's doing, and that's what they're there for, and that's what we'll do.
Andy, last one. Go ahead.
Caleb suffered his first miss yesterday. He took it pretty hard after the game. What do you and Darren tell him or say to him afterwards to keep his, you know, confidence?
Well, I don't know. I saw his quote was outstanding. You know, it was a great snap. It was a great hold. The protection was great. You have an individual that takes accountability for his performance the fifth game into his season, you're going to have a chance to be a football player in this program, because if you're responsible and accountable and professional, which this guy is, you'll make adjustments and you'll get better.
Okay, guys, thank you.
All right, thank you.
It was Joe Philbin next door in the interview room his day after press conference. Very nice things to say about Caleb Sturgis at the end. And as he alluded to, Sturgis took complete responsibility for that kick at the end of the game. Tough kick. Yeah. Tough kick for Caleb Sturgis. Let's go back to pass protection, though. I thought the coach had some interesting things to say about that, starting with, I suppose it's kind of the obvious, and he says, John, the pass game starts with protection. And for all the talk about Tannehill and Wallace and even Hartline and Gibson and whatever else, if you can't give the quarterback the opportunity to find those guys, nothing else matters.
And as a quarterback, you have to feel confident that you are going to have that time. The last thing you want to do is have a second-year quarterback in Ryan Tannehill dropping back and have his eyes not on the coverage or not where it's supposed to be, and it goes down. You know, your eye level goes down. Now you're looking for who's going to come free from where. That's when you have problems. And I don't think the Dolphins, even though we've had 24 sacks through five games, aren't at that point right now. Ryan Tannehill still is focused on where he needs to deliver the football, still trying to get and develop timing in the pass offense with all of his wide receivers. So that's a good thing. I mean, some other guys that maybe don't have the ability or the talent that Ryan Tannehill has, you get sacked that many times, your eyes are going to be looking everywhere. You know, this guy is a tough guy. He's going to stay in the pocket and throw it. But ultimately, the pass protection juice needs to be much more sturdy than it is right now. And I don't know if you can put all of it on the offensive line, but a good majority of it has to start there. Because when you're retreating and you get pressure off the edges, or if you get pressure in your face up the middle, that does things to disrupt the timing in your pass offense. Maybe you have another count or another half second to hold on to the football and throw it where you want to, instead of just maybe anticipating where it's going, and you don't have that confidence on, you know, what that coverage was. You have to feel comfortable in the timing in your pass offense, and that really gets disrupted when you have guys in your face and you have to move off your mark, reload, and now deliver the football down the field.
Yeah, you know, and it was coming from both directions too, and that's what worries you even more. You know, it wasn't just coming from the right side or the left side, you know, and that's when, as a quarterback, you have to sit in there. Ryan's a tough dude, man. I give him so much credit for sitting in there, because you're right, John, there are some guys that will get gunshy in there. Once they start getting hit a little bit, pressured a little bit, they want to get out of there right away, and Ryan still hangs in there, tries to deliver the ball, man, and that's mental toughness, physical toughness, and, you know, that's just a good football player right there. But like you said, these guys have to be sturdy up front. They're giving way too much ground, and these defensive ends are playing against, they're smart. You start backing up, we're just going to ride you into the quarterback. You want to set solid, we're going to go around you. So it's a tough deal for those guys.
And, you know, thinking back to training camp and going back to the offseason, I remember Ryan Tannehill saying that one of the things he was working on, one of the many things he was trying to work on to develop as a first-year quarterback into a second-year quarterback, was his footwork and hanging in the pocket longer, staying in the pocket to let things develop, not to tuck it and take off, to let things develop, because if I did, I may have that big play opportunity down the field. The last thing you want to do is put doubt in his mind to say, now you have to change. Now you have to, you know, the first sign you think somebody's coming through, hey, get out of there. You know, break away and get out of the scheme of what we're trying to do. There's a fine line where quarterbacks that have athletic ability in this league get out of the pocket, and some guys have to stay in and try to deliver. That's something that you have to watch on film and you have to improve on, so you don't put that doubt in the quarterback's mind, because I do believe that once they get this figured out, this offense is going to be much more productive. His percentage is going to go up, and that means more productive plays down the field, which equals more points for the Miami Dolphins.
The figuring it out, of course, is the key thing right now. And you heard Joe Philbin got a couple of questions about, you know, maybe working some other guys in at, you know, offensive line, whether it's guard or tackle. And he was asked specifically about Nate Gardner and Danny Watkins. And, you know, it didn't really seem to indicate that he was interested in going that direction. So we like the guys we have. We trust the guys we have. How hard is it to work in a new guy or two on the offensive line in the middle of the season? Obviously, it happens, you know, because of injury especially, but sometimes because of performance as well. I mean, is the bye week the time to try and, you know, spin that around and get some reps for a guy like Nate Gardner with the first team, or is that a tough thing to do?
I think Nate would be a guy that could step in right now, because he's been around. He's been around the offense. Danny being, you know, being there for a month or so, it might be a little tougher on him to get in and get involved, but this is the ideal time. This is, you couldn't ask for a better time to get anybody. If you want to work on any position, this is the time to get it done, because you can get the extra work in. You can do a lot of one-on-one where you don't have to worry about the whole team set. When you get in a team set a lot of times, John, you know, you can't really do as much individual work. But this week and next week, you got time where guys are just around where you can, you know, be at your position coach and go over a lot of different things. So I think this is an ideal week for these guys. He talks about they're going to, evaluate themselves this week. It's going to be a lot of, you know, self-evaluation, look at what we've done so far and move forward there. This is an ideal situation, ideal time for any position they're worried about to get some guys some extra work in.
You couldn't draw it up any better for the Miami Dolphins right now. I mean, if you were walking into this bye week and you were 1-4, you'd have problems. If you were 2-3, you'd have problems. This team's still on the winning ledger of a 3-2 record. They're only one game behind the New England Patriots. They know their worst enemy are themselves right now. Mm-hmm. So the Miami Dolphins have to go back, self-scout, try to tighten down things on both sides of the football. Look at the schemes they're trying to develop. Are they the right things? Are we doing the things that our people do best? And get maybe some other guys involved in the pass offense. excuse me, as well as maybe when they're rushing the passer, do we have the right guys in coverage in man-to-man? Do we want those guys isolated man-to-man? So there's a lot of self-scouting going on both sides of the football. It couldn't happen at a better time.
All right, so there you go. The bye week definitely coming at a good time for a lot of reasons for the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins Monday opening drive is going to continue. We got a lot more Dolphins Monday coverage, of course. At 5 o'clock, we got the Finsider Show coming up, both on the radio and online. Joe Philbin will stop by the studio. Also, wide receiver Brandon Gibson will come by the studio. Join the Dolphins to tackle cancer 1 mile at a time. Register to ride in the 4th Annual Dolphin Cycling Challenge on November 2nd and 3rd at RideDCC.com. Take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this show and get you ready for everything else that's coming up for the Miami Dolphins this week. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 Wins, and you're watching live at Dolphins.com.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Back with John Congemi and O.J. McDuffie, it's time to recap Sunday's Game Changer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today for a great offer. Game Changer, give that one a little combo job. How about that? Deion Jordan and Rashad Jones. Deion hits the ball as it comes out of Joe Flacco's hand. Rashad Jones waits for it. There's the interception and runs it back 25 yards for a touchdown. It certainly did change the game. It got the Dolphins very much back in it, tied it at 23. Unfortunately for Miami, a couple of possessions later, Justin Tucker hits a 44-yard field goal for the Ravens to give them a three-point lead. Dolphins get the ball back after that with a minute 42. They get into pseudo-field goal range, but Caleb Sturgis unable to connect from 57 yards away. They lose to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday, 26-23. All kinds of talk about how the bye week is well-timed for the Miami Dolphins, and one of the reasons, of course, is the injury situation. You saw Nolan Carroll in and out yesterday with a rib injury. Danelle Ellerbe missed a good chunk of the game with a shoulder injury, and of course, Cam Wake, well, he gave it the old college try, but just three snaps yesterday for Cam Wake. So obviously, he wasn't ready to come back. Now, for all those guys and everybody else, just an opportunity to rest the body a little bit and get right for Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, I'd like that's the biggest thing right there. We got a lot of things that can be done this bye week. One is get the health, get everybody healthy, and two, revamp or, you know, get that line or whatever we got to get tightened up. Coach Philbin, you know, he said it, so there's a lot of positions that need some work, and it's a good week to get it done. But John and I were talking during the break, and Cam Wake being missing is it's a big deal for us. You know, he's a game changer. Our other guys, Derek Shelby, you know, OV, those guys are really good players, but Cam Wake is a game changer. And when you don't have him out there to push that pocket, to have that quarterback, you know, afraid in that pocket a little bit, you know, like we've seen our guy having to be a man and sitting there with all these people around him. Cam Wake's that kind of guy that puts that pressure on quarterbacks. And we haven't seen that happen. Yeah, there was some pressure on Flacco a little bit yesterday. He was only sacked twice, so he's a guy that's not very mobile. You know, the guys that were going against, you know, we come with extra pressure, and that puts it in a vulnerable position. A lot of times you got to bring extra guys to put that same type of pressure that you can put on when you only have, you know, a Cam Wake plan. We can put four guys, so it's a tough deal, but this is a big week. Hopefully next couple weeks to get Cam healthy, get a lot of guys healthy, Shelby, you know, maybe see what happened with Dimitri, who's been banned. I mean, we don't know what's going on there, but it's a big week to get some guys ready for the long stretch.
I think you're right, OJ. With Cam, not only does he strike fear in opposing quarterbacks, he strikes fear in opposing offensive tackles. Mm-hmm. You know, it puts pressure on, you know, maybe getting a couple offside penalties, you know, procedure penalties that you're moving before, because you know you have number 91 in that 4-point stance right in front of you, and you know he's faster than you to the point of attack. So you know, you got OV, you got Derek Shelby that have played well, but those guys are bangers. Those guys are going to be the guys that are setting the edge against the run and, you know, eventually getting to the quarterback. But Cam's a game changer. You said it best. He's a guy that, you know, can get those strip and scores on quarterbacks, get the ball out, you know, get the sacks, you know, make quarterbacks and tackles feel uncomfortable. So if you don't have that threat on the outside, you feel you have to bring pressure from the inside, and that allows more man-to-man coverage. And when you're without your starting corner in Patterson and you're without your backup in Nolan Carroll, and you have to go to your rookie on the outside who you think you have, you know, potential down the line, but potential always doesn't equal on Sunday afternoons or the first time he comes in a game. So, you know, Joe Flacco's an experienced guy. He's tried to get the ball outside and abuse that situation for the Ravens. Right. And they didn't abuse it, but they were able to test it a couple times that were able to move the football down the field. So maybe you don't have to blitz as much when you have 91 on the edge rushing.
Yeah, that's a great point. So as we look forward, is it as easy as the obvious number one right now for the Dolphins during the bye week is pass protection? And whether that means changing personnel, whether that means changing X's and O's, whether that means rolling Tannehill out, whatever it is, it's got to be at the top of the list, right?
We're a different team. If we have protection and we can run the ball a little bit, it definitely starts up front. We can get a lot of things accomplished. Our defense isn't on the field for 36 minutes. If we can move the ball a little bit, we can convert on some of those third downs if Ryan has a little more protection. And you never know what happens, you know, as a defense that way. You know, moving the ball, everything starts up front. And, you know, I'm going to put it on. I'm going out there. I'm going to say the offensive line had a bad day yesterday. And it really contributed to a win or a loss in that game. And I think that, you know, we tighten that up over these next couple weeks. It could be the difference of us being a much better team going through.
And guys, you know what? You can do so much more when you have the running game. You got your play action pass, which is a valuable part because now you can get your tight ends more involved in the game. You can get Brian Hartline and Brandon Gibson more involved. That just gives them more room to operate over the middle of the football field. Just think back to a lot of the catches Brandon Gibson makes. There's a lot of cushion between the linebackers and the safeties, and that's because you run the football a little bit more effectively and you give them some room. So everything attaches to one another in the passing and the running game.
All right, that'll do it for Dolphins Monday opening drive. Reminder, we are back about, 3 hours from now for the Finsiders show. Both Joe Philbin and Brandon Gibson will stop by the studio. We'll talk to you at 5 p.m. right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.